This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Today's podcast is being recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions. Raider creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses of all sizes across the country, as well as right here in Lafayette, functioning as their complete IT department. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. I'm very proud to welcome Iberia Bank as Discover Lafayette's premier sponsor. Founded in 1887, Iberia Bank is the largest bank based in Louisiana and is headquartered here in Lafayette. With 329 combined locations throughout the South, they offer the resources of a national bank with the personal touch of a community bank. Iberia Bank supports educational, cultural, and business development efforts that make a difference in the many communities they serve, including sponsoring this podcast. For more information, please visit iberiabank.com. Jerry Vascacue, Acadiana Market President of Iberia Bank, is our guest today. A Ruston native, Jerry graduated from Vanderbilt University with a degree in economics. He joined Iberia Bank's Baton Rouge Commercial Banking Division in 2005. He then served as the bank's market president in Little Rock before moving to Lafayette in 2010 and has served as Acadiana Market President since then. Active in the community, Jerry served as chair of One Acadiana's board of directors in 2016. He also served as board member of Upper Lafayette Economic Development Foundation, on the leadership teams of United Way of Acadiana and the Community Foundation of Acadiana, and on Ascension Episcopal's board of trustees. Married to Julie Hyatt Vascacue, they have two children. Jerry, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, I've looked forward to this. Before we begin, I want to thank you and Iberia Bank for your support of my endeavor here to shine the light on Lafayette.
You're very welcome. We're very proud to be supporting this because, you know, one of the things we're looking for, we want to find ways to support Lafayette with new ways to reach the community.
And
Jan, you've always done a good job of figuring out ways to do that.
You've
taken a unique approach over your years of serving the community alongside us, and we're real proud of that relationship.
Thank you. One thing good about a podcast, Jerry, we're going to talk today in early 2019. People can come across this podcast years from now.
Yes.
And it'll be on iTunes, wherever. So it's a good way to not only shine the light on Iberia Bank and what you do as bankers, but also your support of the community. So let's jump in.
Okay, great.
So you graduated from Vanderbilt in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And before we start, I do want to say that I think I read online you were a nose guard. Is that right?
Yeah, well, yes.
I look up NG.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah, I went up there on a football scholarship. That's how I got there. I grew up in Ruston, Louisiana, and real proud of my hometown and my North Louisiana background for many generations. And but I tell you, went to Nashville, met my wife there, and she's from Baton Rouge, so I met her in Nashville. So I met Julie there, and had a great experience. Football was a hard thing for me. I had a couple of big injuries, and it kind of ended a little prematurely, but it got me to Vanderbilt.
Right.
It paid for my degree,
and
I'm very, very thankful for those days.
And you were an SAE while you played football?
Yeah, I was. You did some homework.
I did.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Yeah, I did. I was. That was a great part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of opened up, a lot of other relationships that are really important to me to this day in other parts of the country.
Yeah. John, my husband, is an SAE.
He's an SAE.
From LSU.
Right. Okay.
But there's such a network. And
Tell him Phi Alpha for me.
Oh, yeah. Those connections really make a difference throughout life.
Oh, they do. It's been great. I have John. You mentioned John, and there's several others here. Herbie's an SAE.
Oh, yeah. Lenny Lemoyne.
Lenny's an SAE, and it's been a nice connection
for
me to make with those guys.
Right. So you graduated mid-90s, I guess married Julie.
In 96.
And
we got married in 96.
You started your banking career at that point?
I graduated in, I guess, May of 95, and I started my bank career in June of 95. And it's been great. I went to work for a bank called AmSouth Bank, which became merged with Regions like in 2006. But when I was there, when I left in 2005, it was still AmSouth.
Mm-hmm. And, we were talking before the podcast started. Your timing with Iberia Bank has really been incredible. You joined them in 2005, and that is really at the the beginning of the explosive growth
good observation.
Of Iberia Bank. I mean, that's when the hurricane came through. Mm-hmm. Katrina and Rita pretty much decimated a lot of our infrastructure in this region.
Did.
And you want to talk about that, how they went into the Arkansas market?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think it's a good observation, again, on your part. I came to work at Iberia in March of 2005 in Baton Rouge. By August, when the storm hit, you know, we had quite a few of our associates in New Orleans were working with us in Baton Rouge, and of course a lot of them had ended up in Lafayette to relocate for a period of time. That was kind of a critical point in our history, because it, you know, kind of initially it allowed us to really double down on our primary markets in New Orleans, Lafayette, Baton Rouge.
Right.
We invested in new facilities when others were trying to decide if they were going to disappear, other competitors talking about. So we put up facilities in markets we weren't, even new markets for us in South Louisiana. And I can tell you, at the time, I was a new Iberia associate, and it told me a lot about the kind of the spirit of the company, being committed to its customer base and its communities in which it operates.
You were a commercial lender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in the commercial banking group. And for us, I mean, we're not quite as segmented as some of the larger bank competitors, meaning you might have a large company that's your client, or you might also be banking an individual that's somebody you're acquainted with in town that you think highly of. You handle their personal business. So again, I liked the fact that I wasn't pigeonholed in our company. And when the community stuff really becomes a big need and big opportunity, it really pays off, because you got that much broader contact base. So anyway, so one of the things that accelerated was kind of an awareness for our company. And I don't want to speak for our CEO, Daryl Bird, but I know Daryl has been really, he's a guy that's got pretty good vision, pretty good foresight on things. And so he had already understood the need to kind of create some geographic diversity for
us
to avoid exactly that. So you don't have all your eggs in one basket in the event of a hurricane. So it accelerated process where we acquired two banks in about a 45-day period, I believe, announced two banks in Arkansas. So that was in 2007.
And that was where lending, like there was really a big push to grow that, right?
There was Pulaski Bank and Trust in Little Rock, and then, I'm blanking. I think it was called Community Bank or something like that.
But that was the first move out of Louisiana.
Yeah, we announced that. We announced the move into Arkansas in January of 2007. So it was kind of shortly, you know, to go from the storm was in August of 2005, right?
Yeah, 2005.
To an announcement of a first move outside of the state in January of 2007. That's pretty short order.
Right.
I'll be clear. I don't think the storm made that decision. I just think it affirmed the decision we already had to look for other markets.
Right.
That made sense. And went into community banking type environments. It fit really well. And I went up there after we announced, I moved to Little Rock with my family. I joined our chief operating officer, Michael Brown, had already been there for just a few months. And, kind of got knee deep in a whole new state that I'd never lived in. So it was a great experience.
Yeah.
And the Arkansas, the banks required, the teammates that we picked up, the client base, all that really served us very well. It was a really good group.
Right. And I want to back up. Some of the research I did really impressed me with the longevity of Iberia Bank, starting as a savings and loan or a thrift back in 1887.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had only loaned to consumers for over 100 years, just doing home loans and consumer loans. And then to go from that to in the 80s, a lot of the savings and loans tanked because of the economic situation in the 80s, the downturn of the oil and gas industry and other things. Iberia Bank became Iberia Bank then, but they weren't scarred by that. So they were able to emerge as a strong presence and then grew quite a bit in those 20 years. I mean, Daryl Bird came on. I want to mention his name again.
Sure.
The leadership team that your bank has had. So by the time you joined them, the explosive growth was starting, but Arkansas was really just the tip of the iceberg. If you want to talk about that, I mean, I know you spoke just a few years ago for Upper Lafayette, and I was asking you before the podcast, I remember the assets were maybe at $14 billion, and it's more than double that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're right at $30 billion in assets, and I believe it's nine states. Our most recent kind of significant acquisition was in Miami, Florida. So
cool.
I tell you, I love the fact that how often I hear from my friends, mm-hmm. or they'll send me a picture they take on their phone if they're in Key West or West mm-hmm. Palm Beach or Miami, Florida. They love to see the IBERIABANK brand.
Right.
And I got to tell you, that's, you know, back in 07, let me tell you something that's neat. And this is what I would love to share with people is that we were expanding mm-hmm. beyond the state. So we had our strong presence here in Louisiana, across the state. And the brand was really good because it was a brand that people kind of understood and knew. Mm-hmm. So we really wondered, we know it's strong here, but is it going to be a strong brand elsewhere?
Right. Okay? Different cultures.
Different culture. Yeah. It has a Spanish derivation. So, you know, people might think it's a non-U.S. bank, that it's an international company or something. So we actually operated Pulaski Bank and Trust as Pulaski Bank. Iberia Bank Corporation operated us under a separate name in Arkansas at the time for a pretty short time because I was there. And I pretty much quickly realized the strength of our brand. And what the other thing that strengthened the brand was the real estate downturn in the 2007-2008 mm-hmm. Time frame. We really fared well. And it had to do with Daryl's direction and Bill Fenstermaker's direction as the board chair for us here in Lafayette. You know, Bill and the board and Daryl kind of had a policy and a strategy to be super thoughtful about our lending practices. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of came through the real estate recession without nearly the trouble that a lot of our competitors did.
Right.
So that kind of elevated the game, and it started to get us a reputation, a really strong reputation outside of Louisiana. So all that was happening at the same time we mm-hmm. had first acquired. So we all sat back and realized, let's capitalize on our brand. And we're all very proud of the brand.
Right.
And sure enough, it's just been received well everywhere we went. Because I was in Little Rock, we hired some friends of mine in Alabama that has been a great fit for us, and they loved the brand. They said, no, we want to sell that. That's what
keep
we want to market
yeah.
is mm-hmm. keep your name. So,
how many states are y'all in? I didn't bring.
I believe it's nine states.
Yeah, and you're in Texas also. Mm-hmm. It's not mm-hmm. just the pure South.
It's Texas.
Going southwest.
You know, if you kind of, I'll tell you what, from a banking operation standpoint, if you draw a line, Texas to Arkansas to Tennessee to North mm-hmm. Carolina, I think we may be now. North Carolina may be the 10th state. I should have known that coming in, but it's everything mm-hmm. inside of that except for Mississippi. We don't have banking offices in Mississippi.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe to be announced or. Just depends on the market.
No, not that
probably.
I'm aware of. I mean, it's really just been a matter of opportunity,
yeah.
you know, the right fit at the right time.
Right.
And we've gone into markets like South Carolina and North Carolina. Those were not acquisitions, as an example. Those are de novo markets where we hire our right team,
mm-hmm.
you know, open up. We acquired a facility in Greenville, South Carolina. Is one we're real excited right. about, you know, type of market that's really good fit for us.
One thing I've seen, I'm sure it has a lot to do with how you're accepted in the community, just as you're sponsoring this podcast and supporting mm-hmm. education in the community. Mm-hmm. I know that as IBERIABANK has grown throughout the South, you do this in every market.
Mm-hmm.
I went through your Facebook page and was just amazed at the charitable, all the different endeavors, the Heart Association, you support mm-hmm. schools, you mm-hmm. support initiatives that better the quality of life.
It's foundational for us. I mean, it's I go back and point to Daryl's arrival, I think in 98, 99 time frame. Bill Fenstermaker, mm-hmm. Stuart Shea, Topper Bro, the guys that have been on Harry Barton. You know, we've got you know, such a strong board mm-hmm. over a long period of time.
And they've stayed there, right? John Hathorn in New Orleans. I'm trying to think of some of the other...
John Kerner's in New Orleans.
Yeah.
John Casbon.
Casbon, excuse me, yes.
John Casbon, been with us, you know, a long time. John Kerner was added you know, within the last 10 years, something like that. Dave Welch, you know, of course, our great departed friend.
Irreplaceable.
Irreplaceable. And he had a tremendous impact for our company because of his unique and positive outlook on things. I mean, just what a gift.
And he did always say that Elaine Abel gave him a run for his money, too. So I don't want to leave out Elaine.
Yeah, Elaine has been – Elaine and her leadership and her dedicated leadership over a long period of time as well. Those
what a great group of people you work with.
No, it is. It's been – and I'll tell you, for me, it's probably been maybe the most notable positive and kind of the pleasure for me has been getting to know the director so well, living in Lafayette. Elaine and Bill and all of them have been so good to me. I've worked with – really all of them are engaged with us. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not
they're not standing off
away from us. They're engaged in our business, and I'm very thankful for that, for those friendships. I think, again, it speaks to what you were talking about a minute ago was the – and I call it foundational, that we – If you're gonna wear our badge and you're gonna use our name, and you're gonna be a teammate of ours, you're gonna be committed to the community,
right?
And not just in lip service, but sweat equity and really a heart for where you live,
right?
And I'll tell you, it's amazing. You go everywhere that we operate, the leadership teams in all of our markets are deeply committed to that community. That's why they're with us, because they want to have that type of influence, and we're the type of company that allow them to have that influence,
right,
and support them in that influence.
So what, we're talking about the bank. I don't think we've mentioned the kinds of services. I mentioned you gave the resources of a national bank with the personal touch of a community bank. Mm-hmm. What are the type of things that Iberia Bank does? It's not just a bank, right? It's a holding company for different types of services.
Sure.
So I was reading online, wealth management teams. Oh, sure. Like, what types of services do you offer?
Soup to nuts, wealth management, whether it's trust administration, financial advisory services, or discount retail brokerage. You know, it's kind of everything associated with it, estate planning, et cetera. Certainly our mortgage division, we have a significant mortgage business around the Southeast. We have something that's really been a neat, and I'd kind of call it one of our newer initiatives. We really have focused some efforts on what we're calling the Iberia Civic Impact Partners. Okay, that's a division. We run it out of our New Orleans office, where we have some really talented guys that are really helping us evaluate around all of our footprint across the Southeast. Where can we invest lending dollars, our own bank equity into markets? Because that's part of what we do, is invest some equity in housing opportunities and low to moderate income census tracts.
Right.
We just closed on one. We're going to announce one. It's been announced, and we're an equity partner and a lender in a large multifamily project here, not too far off of Evangeline Thruway.
Oh, I read about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just announced here in the last
right. Is that behind
week
Walmart?
Or, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the last couple weeks, it'll be
that's a great location.
It is, and it's an important location.
Very important.
You know, it's an important location.
It's on the bus route. It's convenient for families.
The project that's being developed, I would say that we're definitely committed to it, because it's one of the largest equity investments we've made as a company through our CRA efforts.
I didn't realize y'all did that.
Something we're excited about.
Mm-hmm. Well, we both worked with Upper Lafayette. I know that you, which includes downtown and then north of I-10, but I know that you were always interested in not only seeing the community development, but also cleaning up the community through Project Front Yard.
Yeah.
Should have mentioned that at the beginning, and doing what you can to make this a better place. So,
yeah, my friend Greg Gautreau, he pulled me into that discussion repeatedly.
Mm-hmm. But that was your heart. You would always talk about that.
It was. I tell you, I didn't pull any punches, and I would, when people talk to me, and want my opinion about my experience in Lafayette. One thing I always want them to know is Lafayette the first impression was not great, mm-hmm. you know, physically. The
driving
the surroundings,
in.
The drive-in, the gateways. We mm-hmm. we kind of since have described it as the gateways. Didn't have really a word for it in 2010. We weren't really identifying them that way as frequently. So now we really kind of define the gateways. Because what I love to say is it didn't make a great first impression. But man, it's just been our favorite place to live.
Isn't it something?
It is. Yeah. It is. And we've really, and Julie, if she was here, she would tell you the same thing. It's just been it's a family friendly. My kids love it. My son is at LSU.
Yeah.
And he loves being a Lafayette guy, man. Mm-hmm. My daughter is still in high school. Her name is Virginia. She's a junior. And she spends time with our extended family in Alabama. And she's very proud of her.
That's great.
Her Lafayette hometown. Mm-hmm. And I just had I still have a passion to do what we can to make that first impression better, because we don't want to lose people because it was a bad first impression. I happen to know before it made a bad first impression in terms of as a potential move, but I knew it was a great town. I knew
right.
the culture was great. I knew our company had a big commitment here. Some of my very best friends in other cities are from Lafayette, so mm-hmm. I knew all about it from them. So I was definitely willing to give it a little grace on the mm-hmm. on the arrival, and Julie, my wife, was too, thankfully.
Right.
And sure enough, we just have got some friends that are as good of people as we've ever been around, and you know, our school community has been great.
You've enjoyed Ascension
I have,
Episcopal,
very much.
Huh?
Yeah, it's been good. It was a good fit for mm-hmm. for us. My kids grew up in the kind of Episcopal day school traditions
yeah.
and. My wife grew up in that tradition in Baton Rouge, and so it's been a mm-hmm. great fit for us.
Yeah. I heard you speak for One Acadiana. It was back in 2017, one of the breakfasts with leaders. I'm not sure what the name is, but you really spoke from your heart at that, Jerry, and I wanted to capture some of that, if we could, while I have you on tape.
Sure.
You talked about the importance of family, friends, balance, mm-hmm. and faith.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not overstepping, I got so much out of your talk. I remember somebody said, what advice would you give to young people, or even what advice would you give to yourself as a younger man?
Yeah.
And would you mind sharing some of your priorities
sure.
in life?
Sure. My priorities, they're going to sound similar to what you hear other people describe. I mean, I would tell you that my commitment in, like both internally mm-hmm. And within my family and then beyond, to make sure that I'm as much as I can be a light for the love of Christ, that is kind of a little bit harder to describe to people sometimes, but
yeah.
at the same time, if there's kindness and grace, doesn't mean you can't be competitive. I always say folks that get to know me over time know that I'm competitive and can be kind of tough at times, et cetera, but you know, I do feel it really important that that we give the grace to others that we've been given. Then I tell you, my family, my wife Julie and my son Jake and my daughter Virginia. Again, if you know me, it's a deep, indescribable passion. And and that can't ever be, you can't overemphasize that to somebody, but of course, you know, we got to go to work and we got to compete. And my work life is a big priority for me. I mean, it is for the purpose of supporting my family and my, you know, providing that kind of the basics and the
right.
lifestyle that my family gets. But I tell you, we have had a lot of fun. Again, it speaks to Lafayette. There's a lot of great things to do as a family. My work has allowed that because we're part of the community. And for us, athletics has been a big thing.
I know.
You know,
yeah.
It's been a big thing. It's been a whole lot of fun. Both my son and daughter have been involved in athletics. We, you know, that's just been a great part of our life. But it is interesting that, you know, time goes on. I mean, Jake's at LSU, so
yeah, it goes fast.
You know, we're not doing as much sports as we used to do, and mm-hmm. it's very healthy. It has felt, Julie and I've talked about it, it's been a very healthy transition. When I've talked to these folks, and it comes up with some of the younger folks, I really try to push them to be super competitive. Okay, when you talk about some of the advice, be super competitive, but be super committed, and primarily committed to your family. Mm-hmm. And they really, you know, young folks respond well to that. And mm-hmm. and it has to be done with encouragement. Something I've said more and more, and I wasn't planning on mentioning this today, but it's coming up more and more over time. And the way I've kind of laid it out to my team, even at my home with my family, we want to make sure that while we're competing and we're working hard and really, you know, doing our best, that we're doing all these things and being a part of kind of the light in the community, being brightness, yeah. not and kind of steering clear of the things that kind of let a little darkness creep in, you know, yeah. and a little negativism. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not careful, negativism can really find its way in to the workplace or the home.
Right.
And part of my advice to my team and my family has been to actively work to be a part of the brightness and mm-hmm. the light in a community.
Look for opportunities.
Yeah, positive, man. Just, yeah. you know, even when you're competing and you're working hard, mm-hmm. make it about positivity. Steer clear of negativism. It's that's a concern of mine. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's around us all the time.
You know, I never played football, mm-hmm. which is probably a good thing, given my talent. But when I look at you and you talk about your competitive nature, I think of you as a young man, probably mm-hmm. on the football field, mm-hmm. and you get knocked down or you hurt yourself, you just get back up and, you know, move on and keep on playing.
That'd be it's podcast for a different day.
Yeah. You think that
two ACL
you?
Surgeries and
oh,
and there was it became an endurance test, man.
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of getting through, you know, day by day at certain periods. I mean, I
right.
don't mean the whole thing, but yeah. And my father is my kind of mentor in all things.
He was a banker also.
Yeah, yeah. He is a banker today.
He's still banking.
He's still yeah. He's
what bank is he with, Jerry?
He's now with Business First. He was
okay.
Dad was CEO at Richmond State Bank in North Louisiana, and they just sold to Business First Bank, based I think in Baton Rouge. Mm. Great. He's in a great situation. Dad's been a great leader to a lot of people mm-hmm. for a long time, and certainly for me for almost 46 years, he's been my great leader. And
he was there with you, like encouraging you.
Oh, we talked. Yeah, you're right. We were talking about that last night. We were talking about this very thing last night, that that what you learn in those really hard times allows you to know. So if something hard's happening at work, mm-hmm. it's the same strength you draw on, which is time will pass. You will get through
yeah.
it, and this. A better day is around the corner.
The sun comes up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just no doubt.
Uh-huh.
And there are times that it doesn't feel like it. But mm-hmm. I look, the days you talked about it, you get knocked down and you get back up. I mean, that's
yeah.
that was part of my testimony there for a while in my life. So,
mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's a different day with girls competing, with young women mm-hmm. competing. But I still don't think we have the same type of rough and tumble that the guys have with mm-hmm. hard contact sports. And I've just always looked back now at where I am at this point, wondering what would I have been like if I'd been a guy or had the opportunities, because it was so easy just to quit something. You know,
yeah.
like if you didn't like it, just, well.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting question.
You know what I mean? We just weren't exposed to the same competitive situations.
I can understand it. It seems like maybe it is more. I mean, you know, as I've watched high school
oh, yeah.
girls soccer
in particular.
Pretty darn.
Volleyball's pretty
contact.
Rough.
Volleyball, mm-hmm. pretty high contact. So I do think it's one reason we support all that so much. I mean, we love our daughter doing
yeah.
these things. I told my son, he was a pretty good little football player, and I said, I hate to tell you, this is like, you know, when he was still at home, I said, hey, tell you, my new favorite sport is volleyball. I mean, I'd rather watch volleyball than anything. This is the most action I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
And my little girl's diving on the floor. And
that's talent.
Yeah. And, you know, our little schools had a great volleyball team. Really, all of them do. I mean,
yeah.
Ascension and STM and
ESA.
ESA's got great volleyball.
Yep.
I mean, it's just really been fun to watch all that.
Mm-hmm. But they are competitive.
Oh, man, competitive. and so there's a lot of good fruit ahead for them that will mm-hmm. come out of that competitive spirit.
I think so.
And toughness, you know.
Yeah.
I think the more toughness, the better.
I'm trying to see if we've mentioned everything I wanted to bring up. Jason Sikora is here with us. Have you been taking notes? Normally, he'll have a few questions.
I have taken a few notes.
Cool, man.
First of all, the website of the bank. What is it?
IberiaBank.com.
Okay, so we didn't. I figured it was something that easy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have any banking questions. I'm not much of an economist.
Nobody really wants to hear that much about that anyway.
They do when they need a loan.
Yeah, you're right.
So you've moved to a few different cities, and now you're here in Lafayette. Are you staying here, or are they going to move you off somewhere else?
Jerry.
Yeah, no, my plan is to be here. I no plans to do anything else. I feel like because of the investment that we talked about with Elaine and Bill and others, and I think, you know, my hope is to be here. I'll say that.
Gotcha.
Thank you. Thanks for asking.
Oh, no problem. And then I always like this one because I think this is kind of also part of, you know, giving advice to younger ones. What most excites you about your job, and what's the hardest part of your job?
It's a really good question. For me, the thing that I most enjoy about my job, no question, would be kind of the way a relationship develops with our customers. When I become really somebody that they really lean on, and they need me in their decision process. They don't need me to help them run their business, but from a guidance standpoint or support, or really just kind of a day-to-day open friendship, being there for them I'm trying to think of how to say it without naming names, you know, is when my customers are successful and we got to be a little bit of a part of it, man, that's a good day at home. If it's a new acquisition somebody gets to do, or if a client's celebrating a record year and we just get to be connected to it, those are good days when I go home and put my head on the pillow at night. And the hardest part, you know, is probably the other side. If a customer's having a real struggle and we're not able to do enough for them to help them get over the hump at times, those are hard days. Those are some really hard days. Because, you know, we really pretty committed to our customers. I mean, we want to do everything we can for them. You know, the people side of it, I more and more I'm enjoying the coaching and driving folks to be competitive.
Yeah. You've got those Monday morning team meetings.
I do, and look, don't ask any of them about my teammates about my team. About
we'll have to call up a few people. Yeah, what do you really think about Jerry?
You know a lot of them in that room. we work hard to keep it pretty upbeat, but there is that competitive tone at all times, and so I'm really enjoying that. One of the things that we're committed to is developing folks that are coming into the workplace, coming out of college or
I have a young friend, Jacob Groth.
Oh man,
at your Oil Center branch. Yeah,
we just keep giving him more responsibility, and he keeps doing a great job with it.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, fine young man, and I know you've got others.
Oh,
we've
got quite a few of them that are really, really doing a great job for us.
That must be fun, though, Jerry.
It's really fun.
Work with people.
And I tell
like
you,
that.
We've been blessed that we've been able to identify and bring into the mix the folks and for this kind of next generation of leaders for our company. And I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. Kind of prerequisite is they got to be the positive types, you know. Mm-hmm. Hard workers, but that they're happy to be there, and they're positive and kind of trying to learn and really respectful of others and really to a person. Our next generation really fits that to a T.
That's great.
I'm very proud of them.
Excellent. No, that was a great answer too, because that's kind of what IT is like. When our clients, when we fix their problem and they're happy, we're happy. And when we can't figure it out, it's just so frustrating. That becomes a very difficult day. So.
Yeah, you solve it, you just high five time.
Exactly. Finally, how robbed were the Saints on Sunday?
Oh my gosh.
Dude.
We didn't even bring it.
Look, I'll tell you this. I have chosen not to watch it, not to read it, because I get so mad every time the topic comes up. And what will happen is, like, you're looking at Facebook or something, and I'll accidentally see the clip.
Oh yeah,
I like scroll past it because it.
Or the billboards. You know,
oh my
the
gosh,
lawsuits.
I'm really just ignoring it because it is such a frustrating thing.
Yeah. I saw it. I mean, even I was like, that's two penalties. That's not just one penalty, but.
Well, and the
outrage.
The crime is significant. The biggest crime is, you know, the bigger stage you can put Drew Brees on, the better for our country. I'm no kidding.
Right.
I mean, the bigger the stage, the bigger the audience that Drew Brees can reach people, it is, there's nothing greater. Here's a great thing about the Saints. How about my 18-year-old son sends me out of nowhere the screenshot of Drew letting his little boy kick the ball on the field after the game, after this crushing loss. We talk about priorities.
Yeah, he's got it.
I'll just point to Drew Brees, and that my son sees that affirmed in one of the heroes out there. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, that was a great picture.
Awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good.
Well, look, thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting Discover Lafayette, Iberia Bank. Raider Solutions is a big fan of Iberia
Bank. Are too. Yeah, Chris and his team, they're great friends of ours. Real proud of what you guys are doing, and it's something we've talked about at length. So thank you for all y'all are doing as well.
Oh, no, well, again, thank you. Chris has many, many times talked about his love of Iberia Bank. Yeah. And no matter what other banking things he gets into.
Yeah, he's got a few things going.
He's always like, always work with Iberia
and
Bank.
He's been good about that. And we support Chris and his other stuff, too. So his other relationships that he's working with are great folks. So part of our – really just part of one of the many reasons we love Lafayette.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being here. And Jen, thank you for allowing me to answer the questions.
Thank All right, Jerry Vascocue, you're absolutely one of my favorite people.
Oh, thank you. That's kind of you to say.
Thank you for making time for this today.
You're very welcome. This has been fun.
Yeah. So, again, thanks to Iberia Bank for serving as Discover Lafayette's premier sponsor. Thank you for listening to the show. For all of our episodes, you can go to discoverlafayette.net, or you can find us on iTunes or anywhere that you get your podcast. And get out there and open your Iberia Bank accounts. So on behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift. Thank you.